Welcome to the Ghosts of Taos podcast. I'm your host, M. Elwell Romancito, and I'm going to walk you through some of the stories, tales, and rumors of the supernatural, ghosts, and the paranormal of Taos, New Mexico. Thank you for joining me. Season 1, Episode 5. Mamby, Most Hated. Arthur Rochford Mamby has the distinction of remaining, even to this day, the most hated man in Taos, which is saying a lot, both for Taos and for someone who died in 1929. Why does he enjoy this distinction? The reasons add up to one of the most compelling mysteries that bear all the trappings of a fantastic story. The facts are so outrageous, it would stretch anyone's credulity. The story, colorfully recounted in Frank Waters' book, To Possess the Land, includes gold mines, land grabbing, insanity, beheaded bodies, and a dark-eyed beauty that reads the tarot with unerring ability. It also includes suspicious fires and a secret society so weird and convoluted no one really knows where it came from or where it went after Mamby's death. To this day, it's uncertain whether Mamby was murdered or beheaded or whether Mamby just wanted to silently slink away with his debt, which was rumored to be $900,000 or more. It's not like Mamby didn't have enemies, most of them wanting him dead, and several willing to do it. No one was ever charged with his murder, and it remains a mystery to this day. Perhaps the ghost of Arthur Mamby haunts what is often called the Thorn House, when it isn't being called Mamby's house. How it got to be called the Thorn House is a story all by itself. Over the years, one claim in the house is that of being watched or of feeling like you're not being alone, even when you know you're the only warm-blooded human in the building. Another common claim is the sound of footsteps in the hallway along with a rolling thud. The room where Mamby's body was found on that hot July 3rd morning in 1929 used to be a bedroom, but it's been a gallery space and also a dining room. People claim they have felt someone touch them, but no one living is taking responsibility. Mamby's head, which had been chewed and carried around the house by two dogs, was found yellowed and scraped to the bone. For some reason, Mamby's dog had been taken into the courtyard and shot. The body smelled so bad it was buried as soon as possible, only to be dug up again 6 weeks later for an autopsy conducted by neighbor Doc Martin. The autopsy report went missing, but supposedly Martin burned the records when he thought he wasn't going to get paid for the work. Crime scene investigation being what it was in the 1920s, there was no DNA records, and apparently Mamby hadn't even been fingerprinted. The mystery of who killed Arthur Mamby and whether he was actually murdered at all has never actually been solved and will most likely stay a mystery. The ghost of Mamby is also reported to have been seen wearing his boots and leather riding jacket on his way home from his favorite restaurant. From the book Headless in Taos by J.S. Peters. Whatever degree of dislike the man may have earned during his lifetime, he was too often portrayed scornfully by various writers over the years as a social pariah and a person of few principles. It is overlooked that he was also intelligent, educated, and came from excellent family stock. Why he finally followed the profession of a confidence man is another part of the Mamby mystery. And although his background in life was certainly above average academically and materially, the answer lies in the man alone and is buried with him. Whatever good or evil can be said about the man, the distressing fact is that the story is a tale of human tragedy. The tragedy of a good mind destroyed and talents miserably wasted. Here is Rick Romancito reading an excerpt from Frank Waters' To Possess the Land, a biography of Arthur Rochford Mamby.
With the large trunk of the Tenorio Tract knocked off, Manby's lost kingdom dwindled rapidly. The Watson Land Company sold pieces quickly and cheaply, disposing of most of the remainder to a local attorney, Esquipula Martinez, who continued the process of attrition. Today, a horde of real estate agents, as ruthless as Manby, are avidly acquiring the land for resale in a booming market. Manby's folly. And yet there is no Roquefort town or Manbyville on the Saco, no towns or cities on the area of the grant. But with the rampant commercialization of once backward Taos, the town is rapidly expanding his way. A country club and nine-hole golf course has sprung up in the sagebrush where the Indians held their rabbit hunts. Near Manby Springs, a spectacular bridge spans the deep gorge of the Rio Grande. To reach it, there is a new paved highway, part of Manby's proposed boulevard. Up Hondo Canyon, modern cabins fill the aspen glades at Amizet, and on the site of the old mining camp of Twining, a large ski resort is mushroomed with hotels, Swiss-style chalets, and A-frame lodges. In town, there stands $1.5 million motel, not far from the resort hotel Manby envisioned. The Martin Hotel, Doc Martin's former residence, has been enlarged and renamed the Taos Inn. Manby's own home, later Thorn House, has been bought by the Taos Art Association, which converted his stables into the Stables Art Gallery. Behind it stands a new theater. His great English-style park has been bulldozed and made part of the Kit Carson Memorial State Park. It may well be that Manby's Long Avenue and Circular Boulevard will finally be achieved to meet tourist demands. There is no assurance that his great dream will not come true. The dream, the obverse side of the folly. Manby must be given his devil's due. On Arbor Day, a scarce 3 years after his departure, an editorial in the weekly paper appeared, headed, Manby, Great Town Benefactor. It stated, quote, A.R. Manby was probably the greatest benefactor Taos ever had. He planted trees and shrubs on his property years ago, many of those which make up our most priceless possession, the cottonwoods lining Pueblo Road. End quote. His faults and sins, his avid greed, unrestrained ambition, and violence are amply recorded. Yet one cannot doubt that he loved the raw and tempestuous land which reflected his every mood. He had a quick eye for the beauty of line and texture everywhere. More than most men, he strove mightily and unscrupulously to build a mortal foundation for the nebulous dream and watched it collapse ignominiously upon him. Perhaps his one great fault was that he lived before his time and failed to leave a monument as a founding father, or hoodwink us into believing he had a noble motive for getting too rich too quickly. No mortal judgment can be made on a man like Manby, for in him we must recognize the same illuminating vision and dark shadow cast by the dual nature of every man. Only a hairline, too fine to detect, separates them. The dream and the folly are but opposite sides of the same cosmic die from which all human coins are stamped. Perhaps the mystery of the sacred mountain which overlooks his lost kingdom is that, serene and immutable, it reconciles, as we cannot, these conflicting opposites. Below it stands the gravestone of Taos's reportedly greatest scoundrel, erected by the state scarcely a dozen steps from that of Taos's reportedly greatest hero, Kit Carson. The lettering on it reads, Arthur R. Manby, born 1860, England, died 1929, Taos. He planted the trees in this park and on Pueblo Road. The date of his birth is wrong, and perhaps the date and place of his death, and all the great cottonwoods have all been cut down.
We're looking forward to being able to resume tours with Ghosts of Taos, but in the meantime, I would encourage you to visit our website and also to listen to the other episodes of the Ghosts of Taos podcast. We will have announcements and upcoming events. There are investigations to explore, videos, interviews, etc.
Take a stroll down historic Kit Carson Road. Take your time. Every shop has something unique to offer. Traditional Taos Pueblo arts and crafts, curios, collectibles, vintage books on the region. Wander and visit with several working artists' studios. See what brought them to Taos to create. Many leading galleries are also along the street. Gallery Row, it has been coined, featuring an abundance of Taos and regional artists with price points for the beginner to the seasoned collector. Two historic compounds ground Kit Carson Road. The Kit Carson Home and Museum takes you back to old-time Taos living and the life of mountain man Kit Carson. Explore the studios of Anger Irving Kaus and Joseph Henry Sharp, founding members of the Taos Society of Artists. These two painters helped create the cultural fabric of Taos and the West as we know it today. Two visionary painters whose art captured the Southwest and whose art are in national collections and museums around the country. Take a little detour and walk down Dragoon Lane to Kit Carson Cemetery and see if you can recognize notable headstones of historical figures. Stay on Kit Carson Road at the historic Casa Benavides Bed and Breakfast, where you can find the best granola in town, or live it up at El Monte Sagrado Resort. There's free municipal parking, and so you can park and enjoy the day at no charge. Take a stroll down historic Kit Carson Road. Take your time.
Do you have a story you'd like to relate of a paranormal Taos experience? We not only spin ghost stories and tales of the supernatural, we collect them. Email us at taosexperience@gmail.com and tell us all about it. Thank you for listening. If you're curious about the podcast, your host, our stories, or other information about the Ghosts of Taos, visit our website at ghostsoftaos.com for photos, videos, books, and more. I hope you'll join me again for the Ghosts of Taos podcast. Until next time.